Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us then feast with joy in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. First, a word of welcome to all of you who are visitors. Thank you for beginning your Easter morning so early with us here. This Easter Sunday, which we actually began to enter into at the Easter Vigil last evening, we Christians on this date, on this day, we are entering into the most solemn, the most joyful, the most glorious feast that we can imagine. You know, you might recall that in the very early church, what we now celebrate as a whole season of Lent and then a whole season of Easter, each one going on many weeks, all this was once confined to just Easter Sunday and to the Easter Vigil. In other words, the night before, where there was a watchful waiting for the Easter sunrise. But even in our Triduum liturgies this past week, beginning on Holy Thursday, which we had both here and at Nativity BVM, they began actually with Bishop Molloy's Chrism Mass Thursday morning at the Cathedral in Rockford. Even with all these liturgies that we've been celebrating in the last several days, liturgically, so to speak, we somehow bypassed the mystery of Holy Saturday, that mysterious time between Jesus, on the one hand, his crucifixion, his death, his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection. Remember that in the Apostles' Creed, we Christians profess that in this time period, which we designate as Holy Saturday, that Jesus, we proclaim, descended into hell, or to Sheol in Hebrew. It's called Hades in Greek. It's literally, in Scripture, it's the place of the dead, because those who had died before the time of Jesus, they were deprived of the vision of God. We're basically referring to, among others, and especially, all those righteous people, even big sinners who had repented in Old Testament times, for whom heaven had been effectively closed by the sin of our first parents. There'd been this profound separation, if you will, of humanity from God that was not yet reconciled. In his first letter to us, in his first letter, St. Peter tells us this, quote, "Put to death in the flesh, Jesus was brought to life in the spirit. In it, he also went to preach to the spirits in prison." So that letter of Peter is saying that Peter in his spirit or in his soul went to preach to those spirits in prison. And according to Pope John Paul II, referring to this passage in Peter's first letter, he says, obscure as it is, this text confirms other biblical texts concerning the concept of the descent into hell as the complete fulfillment of the gospel message of salvation. It is Christ, his body laid in the tomb, but whose soul is glorified by God, Jesus Christ, who communicates his state of beatitude to all the just, whose state of death he shares in regard to the body. So the body of Jesus, if you will, dead, but his spirit, his soul, goes to those who have been awaiting the resurrection, if you will. In other words, another way to think about this, the holy souls in the bosom of Abraham who had lived and died before Jesus' redemptive act for all humanity on the cross, they were finally delivered from their captivity or their separation from God when Christ opened the gates of heaven to them. There's an ancient icon which depicts this holy Saturday reality in art. There are probably many icons, but there's one I particularly like myself. And the one I'm thinking of, it's an image, but it shows Jesus assisting, if you will, Adam and Eve out of their coffins. And then on the one side in this image, you have one side of Adam and Eve, you have old covenant figures of King David, King Solomon, and John the Baptist. John the Baptist is with the old covenant figures. Remember, he's proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah. So he's a transitional figure between the old covenant and the new covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So anyway, in Eastern art, in an icon, he's included with the Old Testament figures. And on the other side are New Covenant figures, St. Peter, St. Paul, and St. John. There's a second century Holy Saturday homily by a bishop which we pray in the Liturgy of the Hours on Holy Saturday. And these are the words from that homily from the second century. And it's basically a description of what's going on. Quote, "What is happening?" Again, we're on Holy Saturday. "Today there is a great silence over the earth, a great silence and stillness, a great silence because the king sleeps. The earth was in terror and was still because God slept in the flesh and raised up those who were sleeping from the ages. God has died in the flesh and the underworld has trembled. He goes to seek out our first parent like a lost sheep. He wishes to visit those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He goes to free the prisoner Adam and his fellow prisoner Eve from their pains, he who is God and Adam's son." So our Lord Jesus Christ, in these events of these days, he confronts death head on. And in the mystery of his, what we call his descent into hell, Jesus endured, if you will, the separation of his body and soul for our sakes. And on the other side, he comes out on Easter morning with a new, a different, and glorified humanity. And how does the Bible describe it? Well, even Mary Magdalene, at first, we're told, did not recognize the risen Christ until he called her by name. Now, Jesus' resurrection is not something that he ever intended to keep for himself. If you think about it, he shares everything with us. These are among the things he shares. He shares his Father, his Mother, his Spirit, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and even his risen life with us. And of course, we can begin our sharing in all of this and experiencing its regenerative power in our souls and even in our bodies. And we have access to it in so many ways. If you think of all the graces of God that flood down on us, but we Catholics think in particular of receiving our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, in which we receive the body we receive in the Eucharist is his risen, glorified body given to us so that we might live forever. Here's something that applies to all of us. Every one of us individually is going to pass through physical death. but we will not be alone. He will be with us, just as the Father was with him as he made his passage. And even when we expect to see him face to face, even that is not going to be the end of the story. He will return, and his Easter resurrection will have his final great impact on us when our bodies then are effectively made like his own in glory. We just can't quite imagine what this is all about, but they're going to be like his glorified body. That ancient Holy Saturday homily I referred to a little while ago gives us this imagery of Jesus extending his hands to Adam and Eve, helping to lift them out of their tombs. And these, in the words of the homily, are what Jesus says. "Rise, let us leave this place. The enemy led you out of earthly paradise. I will not restore you to that paradise, but I will enthrone you in heaven. I forbade you the tree that was only a symbol of life. But see, I who am life itself am now one with you. I appointed cherubim to guard you as slaves are guarded, but now I make them worship you as God. The throne formed by cherubim awaits you, its bearers swift and eager. The bridal chamber is adorned. The banquet is ready. The eternal dwelling places are prepared. The treasure house of all good things lies open. The kingdom of heaven has been prepared for you from all eternity."